listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. We have a number of very important things to discuss with you today. Life and death things. Things that really, really matter. And if you don't, and if I don't participate in these things, and by the way, there's no excuse for that, because from Genesis to Revelation, God repeatedly calls his people, his men and his women. We are called repeatedly to be the stewards, the rulers, the caretakers, the salt and light of our nation and of planet Earth. So any attempt to twist and malign the Bible in order to justify personal apathy, and usually it's not just personal apathy, it's personal laziness, is untenable. It's untenable in light of God's laws of love. We are in the most serious environment that the human race has ever been in. And you know, when I say that, and I say it over and over again, the danger in saying it is that people become numb to those remarks. And yet those remarks are not in any way or sense intended to be inflammatory, intended to be sensationalistic. That's not what I'm saying. No matter how you analyze the present situation, whether it's from a scientific perspective, a sociological perspective, an environmental perspective, a geopolitical perspective, a Bible prophecy perspective, no matter how you analyze the events that are happening, you come up with the same answer to your equation. And I'll just simplify what that answer is. We are right now in the greatest threat zone, the greatest danger we have ever been in before. And the reason for that is that never before in the history of mankind have we had not only the archetypical weapons of mass destruction, like nuclear bombs and chemical weapons and biological warfare, but now we have, on steroids, now we have weapons that we've never had before. We have genetic engineering weapons. We have the ability to create soulless, non-human, transhumanist entities that have no human DNA in them whatsoever, and therefore they are soulless entities. It means in a very real sense, they are sociopaths like a serial killer. They are psychopaths like a serial killer. Why? Because they can do absolutely anything under the sun, murder, rape, torture, you name it. And yet, because they are not human, they lack a human conscience. There's a deep void of spiritual emptiness inside them because they're not human. And therefore, they are more than capable of conducting the worst crimes against humanity, men, women, and children. And God forbid that they should climb the ladder and gain occupational promotion. God forbid that that should happen, because as they rise in power, you essentially have simultaneously the rise of evil to power. And so that's what's happening in our world and in our environment right now as I speak to you. And I speak to you with the utmost sobriety. I speak to you standing on the platforms of thousands of pages of research. I speak to you based on reading tens and thousands and hundreds of thousands of pages of reports, scientific, genetic, historical, and so on and so forth. I stand in front of you with the overwhelming weight of infinite documentation that not only more than proves that the mass extinction level event that scientists have warned us about is coming together, but as somebody who is just an ordinary human being and is exercising his powers of observation, it is apparent to me that the danger that we're in, we've never been in before. This planet, without a moment's notice, this planet could literally due to a violent switch in the location of the magnetic field. So like right now we have a magnetic field in the North Pole, a magnetic field in the South Pole. But at any moment, if these magnetic fields were to flip or to reverse their order, the instantaneous cataclysmic response of watching our magnetic fields flip would be that it would cause total weather chaos of unbelievable proportions. You would see global warming, but you would see simultaneous to global warming, you would see global freezing. And as the temperatures rose and as the temperatures fell, the sea waters would rise, flooding millions of species. So we're in a very dangerous time. On top of that, we live in a time where, primarily due to America, and that's why you need to pray for America, it has been America. It has been America that has exported the philosophy of nihilism. Nihilism is simply the anarchistic philosophy in which the people who are nihilists no longer believe in a God. They no longer believe in an absolute right and an absolute wrong. They no longer believe that God is love. They no longer believe that they're going to be accountable to God at the day of judgment. And so in their delusion, they believe that they can do anything they want to do because, after all, they have absorbed Satan's lies. And after all, they repeat and believe as if it was, you know, a prayer like Our Father. They repeat and believe the shock and awe of a godless theology, of a theology which births delusion. And in the birthing of endless delusions, this new theology proclaims grossly in its deception, it proclaims that the adherents to this new transhumanist philosophy, the believers in transhumanism who believe that mankind is nothing more than an evolutionary accident, they believe that mankind is nothing more than random chance evolution, they believe that mankind is nothing more than a random collection of cells that somehow mysteriously through random chance over thousands of years through random chance mankind somehow through random chance evolved on the guiding principle of a total falsehood that is not only a total falsehood but a total falsehood which is riddled with errors. And so the total falsehood preaches a false God, a false gospel, which says things like there's no meaning to life. There's no absolute right. There's no absolute wrong. Everything you see is the product of random chance evolution. And so in this encapsulated spiritual deception, the high priests of evolution, which is largely the British elite, the American elite, both groups, the German elite, the French elite, all of these groups were drinking at the wine of Babylon. They were drinking specifically until intoxication. They were drinking down the wine of Babylon, intoxicating themselves in the deception that there is no infinite personal living God of the universe, we're all here by accident, and that there's no plan or purpose for any of us. We're just here by random chance. Now, all of that, you and I know through research, through thinking, through examining the documentation, because you and I have taken the time to examine the documentation. You and I have developed a knowledge base. You and I have developed a high level of intelligence where we're able to quantifiably measure with accuracy. We're able to measure what is different and better about biblical Christianity versus what is different and inferior regarding Darwinian evolution. And remember, Darwinian evolution, the foundation of Darwinian evolution, as proposed by Charles Darwin, not only teaches us the glaring falsehood that we are here by evolutionary accident, but to compound that delusion, it teaches us additional delusions, such as there is no meaning, there is no moral code for humanity on planet Earth. In other words, there is no infinite personal living God of the universe. He is, according to them, a total fantasy, a total mythology, and a total fairy tale. And in the stream of their thinking, because they believe that an accountable God is a fairy tale, in the flow of their thinking, they also happen to believe that there is no absolute right or absolute wrong. And each and every one of us is here by nothing more than random chance evolution. And because of that, the primary directive of living in a planet ruled by random chance evolution, the primary directive is that you and I are to apply Darwinian evolution to our lives and to our thinking, just like some Christians apply teachings like love your neighbor as yourself, or forgiveness, or salvation by faith. All those Christian and biblical tenets by which we guide our lives point to the fact that God is love, God is righteous, and God ultimately holds each one of us accountable morally, spiritually, and so on and so forth. He holds us accountable for what we've done here on planet Earth. And so mankind, through the activism of what can be labeled as the globalist elite, mankind, through what can be described as the theological outline of transhumanism and humanism, both of which teach this enormous deficit and this enormous falsehood, because both of them teach the lie and the total delusion that there is no real meaning to man's life, and that all men's lives have absolutely nothing to do with moral accountability, loving your neighbor as yourself. All of our lives have nothing to do with those precepts. Instead, we are taught to reject those precepts, and we are taught to embrace not only humanism, which teaches us that man is God, but we are taught to embrace the philosophical child of humanism, which is transhumanism. Transhumanism is the quasi-ideology that all of us are here simply because of the Darwinian principle of right makes might. Right makes might. Or only the fittest shall survive. So when we come from the womb, when we have to compete for food, when we have to compete for land and energy, et cetera, according to Darwinian evolution, in order for mankind to survive, mankind must become savage-like. Mankind must become animal-like in everything that he or she does. And in that animal-like stature, in that monster-like stature, mankind lives by the Darwinian principle of pure might, pure power determines what's right, which simply means that if you choose a path, you justify the path you choose, you justify your morality. You justify whether or not you're going to kill somebody and eat them for dinner. You justify all of your actions under the light of the delusion that might makes right and only the fittest survive. So what this globalist elite or this intellectual elite that are filled with Freemasons and they're filled with all kinds of men and women who believe in occult and Luciferian ideas, they are indoctrinating the masses by the billions of people. They're indoctrinating the masses into believing hook, line, and sinker the occultic, Luciferian, satanic precepts of transhumanism, which teach the following: might makes right. There is no such thing as an absolute right or an absolute wrong. We are nothing more than evolved animals. And in order for us to survive, we must be more violent, more cruel, more selfish, more domineering, and more competitive than other species or other humans. And this plays out in every dimension of life. It plays out in the realm of justice, social justice. It plays out in the realm of every facet of life, this corrupt ideology that might makes right. And so, only the fittest survive, which means those human beings that are genetically superior, those human beings that have DNA that is superior to other human beings, will inevitably be able to draw on the resources of their DNA, to draw on the resources of their genetics, and through becoming a kind of genetic DNA master race, human beings can triumph and conquer over other human beings. So when you go back to the late 1800s in America, you see this historical progression. You see that men like Rockefeller, one of the wealthiest men in the world, Rothschild, one of the wealthiest men in the world, and many of the other super capitalist, super rich families, they went out and acquired their wealth by any means necessary. By the way, that's a communist principle. Initiating a communist revolution by any means necessary means you are permitted to do whatever you like by any means necessary in order to become a king or a god king or a ruler. And you have the full entitlement of becoming a king or a god king or a ruler because might makes right. And so these super wealthy, super rich family that who many of these families boast that they are DNA genetically superior bloodline families, where when you go back far enough in time, these bloodline families made the decision to breed on an interspecies level. They made the decision to breed with their DNA, their family line, and then through female women that possessed human DNA, these Illuminati bloodline families chose to mate with these Illuminati bloodline families, producing what is called a hybrid race. Now, a hybrid race is a race of human beings that whose DNA and genetic code is not completely human. They are a hybrid race because they are a strange mixture of female human being DNA that has interbred or mated with fallen angel DNA. And so when the fallen angels, the male fallen angels, looked upon human women, they looked upon human women with physical desire and lust. They desired to mate with female human women. The female human woman produced offspring or babies. And what was unique about this interspecies breeding, where the fallen angels were mating with human women, this interspecies breeding produced a brand new synthetic, or what could be termed a virtual human race or a synthetic human race. A synthetic human race or a virtual human race, in that the female women who did have human DNA and mated with the fallen angels and their non-human DNA, that combined offspring consisted of the mating of human female DNA, which mated with fallen angel DNA, and produced the hybrid species, which was a mixture of human DNA and a mixture of human female DNA and a mixture of fallen angel DNA. So what these creatures lack is they lack any genetic code. They lack any DNA code inside of themselves, which would indicate that they were in any shape or form human beings that possessed human being DNA. In fact, the opposite is true. The female human beings mated with human, the female human beings mated with fallen angel DNA, producing a hybrid race of the Nephilim and the Rephaim. And this hybrid race had no human DNA in it at all. And it was a race of entities that in many respects looked human, but in actuality, this counterfeit human race had no genetic evidence whatsoever that it was made of human DNA. In fact, the genetic evidence suggests that not only were these entities not made of human DNA, but they were completely made by artificial or synthetic DNA. And as such, remember God's law, remember clearly God's law, that any human being, like a human female, that mates with a fallen angel, whatever that hybrid species is, whether you want to call it Nephilim, Rephaim, or whatever, that hybrid species is a species that completely lacks any real, valid human DNA of any kind. Instead, you have pseudo-human beings, you have biological entities which may resemble human beings, but when you analyze their internal genetic code, you discover that they have absolutely no human DNA in them, and they are a combination of fallen angel DNA and a synthetic or non-real human DNA. So summarizing that entire account, it simply means they are no longer human. These creatures, these women that mated with fallen angel DNA, are not human beings. And God says in his word very clearly that only those entities, only those beings which have human DNA in them, only those beings which have human DNA in them can be candidates for having their sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, can be candidates for having their sins forgiven by faith. And finally, only those entities that have valid human DNA in them, only those human beings have the capacity or the potential of receiving eternal life by putting their faith in Christ, by receiving Christ into their lives by faith and becoming born again. So no one can become born again. No one can become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. No one can have authentic human DNA if their parents or grandparents were absent of any human DNA or human DNA code. Because salvation can only be granted to those entities and creatures that have actual human DNA in them, or who have the hybrid race of actual human female DNA intermingled with actual hybrid DNA, which is a mixture of the fallen angel DNA with the human DNA. So we have to really understand this, that there is a massive race that is still on planet Earth. This is not some far-off theological point of view. This is a mainstream theological point of view that was for centuries the predominant theological viewpoint of the early church. So this was the established doctrine of the early church, and it was only later on that they were embarrassed by it, so they watered it down. So this is how it played out. The human women were attracted to the male fallen angels, and so they mated with the male fallen angels, producing a hybrid race of both human female DNA and DNA that is exclusively the byproduct of interspecies breeding. Thus, these entities, thus these fallen angel fathers and mothers, cannot reproduce within the DNA code of human beings, and they can't reproduce within the DNA code of human female DNA. Thus, on a genetic level, on a genetic foundation, these creatures are absent, they're minus human DNA on any level, and therefore they are a counterfeit or synthetic human race, and they cannot reproduce and produce authentic human being DNA. And so what we have to understand that is that this is not something that you pick and choose theologically. This is mandatory for you to understand this principle theologically, because it has very serious applications for our present moment. But let's lay it out really fast and smooth. What has happened here is that in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. In the image of God, he created them both male and female. So the original Adam and the original Eve were created in the genetic DNA image of God, period. They were 100% authentic human beings. Now, the serpent of old, living inside the counterfeit body of a reptilian being, which is not accidental, the fallen angel race with the corrupted human DNA, embodied and indwelt human females who reproduced and gave birth to a reptilian genetic race. Now, why reptilian? There's a real mystery about that, but there's certain things that we can glean from that truth. The reason that Lucifer or Satan chose to indwell a genetically reptilian species, and at that time, the serpent of old had the capacity to walk uprightly and had all kinds of powers and intelligence as a synthetic human being that was corrupted by reptilian DNA. And therefore, it's not just a coincidence when the Lord speaks of the serpent of old, and the Lord identifies the serpent of old precisely as the serpent of old. That's not an accident. So Lucifer or Satan always have needed, along with the fallen angels, have always needed a host body by which they can live in the physical earth realm. Without a physical host body, Satan and Lucifer cannot live in the physical earth realm. So when Satan fell, and he seduced Adam and Eve into following him. Satan seduced Adam and Eve through the lie, through heavy-duty spiritual deception, and Satan told Adam and Eve that if they ate of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, that when they do that, they will become godlike. They will have godlike powers, godlike intelligence, and in short, the serpent of old was promising them the lie of transhumanism, which was that they were going to be as gods. So Eve succumbed to the seduction of the serpent of old, and she ate of the fruit in the middle of the garden. And then she gave some of this fruit in the middle of the garden to her husband Adam. And so they discovered that the serpent of old had lied to them pathologically. He told them a great lie, which caused the fall of man to occur, which caused the death force to enter the human race. And all of a sudden, the fall of man occurred. All of a sudden, man instantaneously began to enter the modality of dying, of degrading, of getting sick, of having psychological problems, of becoming weak. All of these problems became the problems of Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God, because they discovered that the serpent of old lied to them big time. And in the lie, they discovered that no, they did not become like gods. The death force entered their bodies and they began to die. They didn't live forever as Lucifer promised them. The death force entered them and they began to die. They began to become mortal. They lost all the supernatural. When they lived in the Garden of Eden, they possessed all these intense supernatural powers that allowed them to rule and reign planet Earth utilizing supernatural powers. And some of these powers we categorize as occultic powers today. They weren't originally occultic powers. They were only rebranded or renamed as occultic powers due to the fact that the fall of man or the death force entered the body, soul, and spirit of Adam and Eve. And in that fallen state, whenever they would attempt to utilize their supernatural rulership powers and their immortality, they discovered that whenever they attempted to utilize their supernatural power, it would always come out in a corrupted, twisted, perverted, and regressive manner. It was no longer powerful and pure. The supernatural power that was bestowed upon Adam and Eve in order for them to rule the world was maligned and disfigured genetically. So they discovered that they did not become like gods. Instantaneously, Adam was filled with incredible shame. Eve had incredible anxiety, and God placed a curse on Adam and Eve. And that meant that Eve would have to give birth to human children when she mated with her husband. But the mating process with her husband and the actual chronology of giving birth to a child became an exceptionally painful experience. And then on a psychological level, God originally created Adam and Eve to walk in harmony, to walk in balance. And in the balance and harmony that Adam and Eve walked in, this allowed the supernatural power and the love of God and the rulership of God to manifest through their relationship. But that was no longer the case. Their relationship was forever unbalanced. Their relationship was forever distorted because they disobeyed God's primary law, or God's only law, which was not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. So they did, and they lost all their supernatural power. They lost their immortality. They lost their supernatural gifting. They had this vast array of supernatural powers that allowed them to supernaturally rule and reign planet Earth with the supernatural authority of Jesus Christ, but they lost it. They had powers back then. Now remember, these are powers that were given to them by God. At that time, they were pure powers because Adam and Eve had not yet become fallen creatures. But in the very beginning, they had the ability to read each other's minds in mental telepathy. In the very beginning, they most likely had the ability to fly by pure will. In the beginning, they had the ability to never get old, never get sick, never die. In the very beginning, they possessed all these supernatural powers of authority, such as remote viewing, a supernatural ability to grow food, to design medicine. They had a vast spectrum of supernatural knowledge which allowed them to be overcomers on planet Earth. Now, but they also had to deal with the fact that they lived under a curse. And that meant that meant that Adam had to sweat from his brow. Adam had to work intensely he had to expend an enormous amount of blood, sweat, and tears and energy in order to plant seeds and produce a crop. He had to keep an alert for his family, his children, and his wife against predators, against killers, against demon-possessed men. The whole landscape of Earth had radically changed. And so they continued on. Now, all of these supernatural powers that we now, for the most part, we still have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We still have the blessings of God, the fruit of the Spirit. We still have all of that. But the supernatural, powerful gifts that God originally gave us retreated and diminished as time went on. And we discovered that as a human race, we were, in many cases, bankrupt regarding the supernatural, overcoming, and victorious power of Jesus Christ, where we could rule and reign over planet Earth. We lost all of that in significant and incremental amounts. So what does that mean? Going all the way back to that time, Lucifer, who was the most beautiful and talented of all the fallen angels, get a picture of who Lucifer was. Lucifer was not some stupid cartoon drawing, demon-possessed, evil being. Lucifer was the most beautiful of all the angels. Lucifer was the most gifted and intelligent of all the angels, along with Satan, which is another name of Lucifer. Lucifer had a vast array of supernatural gifts and talents and abilities. Lucifer was a manager of resources who could multiply assets. Lucifer was a super musician who could create miracles with his musical compositions, his supernatural ability to play just about every instrument. He was gifted by God in all of these ways. Lucifer was a visual artist par excellence. Lucifer could create a sculpture. He could design. He could create music. Lucifer was perhaps the most talented man and gifted man that ever lived, besides the infinite creator of the universe, the infinite personal living God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, who in fact is, without exception, the most gifted, talented, and created God that ever lived. So Lucifer led a rebellion against God because his heart was corrupt and he wanted to be like God, but his heart was corrupt. So he enlisted 1/3 of the angels to rebel against God, to overthrow God, with the intended goal of Lucifer attempting to install himself upon the throne room of God, Lucifer conspiring to replace God as a counterfeit God, and Lucifer seducing 1/3 of mankind who would willingly worship Lucifer as God. And then Lucifer assembles powerful angelic armies. Lucifer creates powerful angelic technology. And Lucifer takes his angelic armies who are gifted in all kinds of areas, and he invades the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem to set up himself to be worshipped as God. And so Lucifer is an alchemical magician. Lucifer, remember, when you go back in time, you have to understand the deeper things that the Word of God is saying. When you go back farther enough in time, when you reverse engineer and go all the way back in time, you go back to the starting point and you discover that Lucifer is highly gifted. He's a creator and an inventor and a scientist and a technology person. And all of the super science fiction-like super technologies that we have on planet Earth, the stuff that Nikola Tesla invented and others, all of the technologies, all of the sciences, all of the architecture, all of the artificial intelligence, all of the management structures, et cetera, were conceived, designed, and created by Lucifer himself. And we see that this is a pattern in human history where the fallen angels of Lucifer, who were imparted superior supernatural technology and supernatural knowledge by Lucifer, Lucifer gave this to them in the invisible realm. He equipped them with all kinds of supernatural abilities so that they could be his agents, his armies in conquering and ruling over planet Earth. So we see when the original first 200 angels descended upon Mount Hermon, they were attracted to human women. The fallen angels were attracted to human women. They mated with human women, producing the offspring race of the Nephilim and the DNA of human women. They gave to mankind a vast assortment of all kinds of highly sophisticated and futuristic technologies, scientific discoveries in DNA, in genetics, in chemicals, in the making of drugs, in a vast assortment of scientific inventions and technological inventions Lucifer downloaded into the fallen angels, enormous scientific and technological power and inventions and creations by which he intended to counterfeit the kingdom of God and dominate the control of planet Earth. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And we will be back in just a moment. Okay, this is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. One of the things that we need to understand about Lucifer, which literally means the Shining One, is that Lucifer was loaded with talents, abilities, creativity, superintelligence, superpowers, and all kinds of things. Lucifer had an understanding of technology, genetic engineering, economics, and an endless assortment of categories of information and knowledge that actually worked. In other words, it wasn't just politically correct stuff. But he is and was an evil genius. So today, when God's people are up against the forces of evil or men and women who have surrendered to the forces of evil, they can never be naive. Every facet of the spiritual warfare, and by the way, the essential game plan for the spiritual warfare that we're all involved in, the essential game plan is the fact that this is essentially what would be called in the military a psyops war, meaning a psychological operations war. The primary battle that we are involved in America and around the world, is truth versus lies and deception. But how it plays out is it plays out in the realm of psyops or psychological warfare. So you take any given topic, and if any given topic is related to truth, you can be assured that Satan hates that topic because it's from God. It has to do with truth. So whether we're talking about the family, we're talking about what economic system works, like capitalism versus communism, in all of these categories, Satan and Lucifer and the demonic powers are sending their armies into the spiritual battlefield, into the minds of and hearts of mankind, in order to twist, in order to confuse, in order to malign and distort the truth. Why? He doesn't want people knowing the truth. He doesn't want people believing the truth. So given the fact that he is a salesman with incredible salesmanship abilities, he is going to hypnotically sell his product, which is usually a perversion or a degradation, for lack of better words, of God's product. And so what has to happen is that the supernatural body of Christ must radically step up its game in terms of spiritual warfare in the last days. And radically stepping up your game means you need to have a revelation. You need to have a quantum understanding that you're just not battling with words. See, that's how most Christians go into the spiritual battlefield. Quote, they're just battling with words. Nonsense. No, absolutely no. You're not just battling with words. The Bible says, in the power of the tongue, there is life and death. So if the Bible says that in the power of the tongue, there is life and death, well, that means exactly what it says it means, that in the power of the tongue, there is life and death. So you can cause a nation, a civilization, a philosophy, an idea, or whatever you want, you can cause it to rise or fall based on the language you use by speaking about it with your tongue. So for example, depending upon, you can make whatever you want to make sound cool, hip, and super attractive and get people to get in on it just by using the right words. Anybody in sales or who is a works in a restaurant as a waitress or whatever, you know how to sell a meal. If you're in business, you know how to sell a car or whatever it is. It's using the right words. It's painting a vivid, attractive picture with your words. Well, that's what Lucifer does, except he does it on a planetary level. So Lucifer will take a philosophy which is essentially a psychotic philosophy, a psychopathic philosophy, and then he will sell that philosophy as if it was pure gold. So you take the philosophy, the death march philosophy of euthanasia, which is the theory that all of mankind's problems are due to excessive population growth, and the only way we can make life on planet Earth sustainable is by radically reducing the level of reproduction or radically reducing the amount of babies being born. I mean, radically. And when they say radically, and you ask them to explain by what they mean by radical population decline, they will tell you with their own words that they are seriously talking about using pandemics to literally kill off billions of people, using droughts and heat waves made through the weaponization of the weather technology to kill off millions through droughts and food shortages, to artificially create a series of World War III conflicts, pulling in nations like the Ukraine and Russia and NATO and America, etc., or pulling in Israel versus Middle Eastern nations and Hezbollah, etc. All of these nations are targeted by the globalist elite for being ignited in the flames of hell known as World War III, which will eventually lead to Armageddon. This is their plan. But they say openly, Bertrand Russell, who wrote Why I Am Not a Christian, a British satanic intellectual, wrote Why I Am Not a Christian, openly advocated that the globalist elite get over their conscience and begin to kill off millions and millions and millions of excessive people. And then down the line, use pandemics, use COVID-19, use vaccinations, use whatever, by any means necessary, kill off millions and millions of people. That's their game plan. and it's evil. Now, but they're selling it, even though their game plan is evil, even though their game plan is psychopathic, even though their game plan is a nightmare, even though all of that is true, they are selling their game plan with precisely shaped words, precisely shaped vocabulary, precisely shaped sound bites, precisely shaped slogans that are catchy, precisely shaped propaganda. All of that is being employed by the globalist elite to sell their deviant message and their lying message, which is the best way to make Earth sustainable is to kill off over a billion people as fast as you can. Now, if God's people were to use their brains, and if God's people were to use their words as cleverly as Satan or Lucifer's people use their words, then we would have already won the battle against deception. I mean, let's take another area. It is blatantly, screamingly obvious that any child in the womb, when you look at it through an ultrasound or whatever, it is screamingly obvious that that child is a viable baby. It's a viable human being that just happens to be smaller because it's in its mother's womb. To argue against the logic and rationale that a baby is indeed a viable baby is a suicidal attempt. Yet, the promoters of abortion, the Margaret Sangers of the world, who is a racist, and all the pro-abortion people, they are better at selling and promoting their message of sexual promiscuity, of abortion on demand, of using all these slogans. Look, even they're always 100 steps ahead of Christians, and that's not the way God intended it for it to be. That's a default position. Let me give you an example. As predicted, the promoters of Planned Parenthood, the promoters of abortion, they were the first to redefine themselves in terms of public relations in the initial outbreak of the spiritual battle. The Christians were calling them derogatory definitions. The Planned Parenthood people outsmarted the Christians, not to be unexpected. They outsmarted the Christians, and they called themselves by the title pro-choice. Pro-choice is a super brilliant marketing, promotional, advertising victory and coup. Plain and simple. Who would not want to be pro-choice? Everything is secondary to the delusion, to the illusion, to the brainwashing, to the propaganda. Everything is secondary to that. And so they sold the verbiage to the masses that what they were really about is pro-choice. And no woman or no man wants to have their choice taken from them, nor do they want their choice forced upon them by some armed police or court or whatever. So the minute the Christian culture, which is often behind the scenes, the minute they went along with the new definition for Planned Parenthood, which was pro-choice, that's the minute they began losing the spiritual battle once again. And this happens over and over again. You look at any topical issue, any current event issue, and then you look at the verbiage, you look at the words, you look at the sound bites, you look at what they're calling themselves. And I'm telling you this, and you already know it in your heart and mind, but I'm telling it to you anyway. The battle has already been lost or won by the time whichever team first gets out of the gates and decides to define themselves in a positive, vibrant, energetic manner. So when the pro-abortion people stopped allowing themselves to be called pro-abortion people and demanded that they be called pro-life people, they won the battle right then and there, because the battle, the pen is mightier than the sword. and the word is mightier than the sword. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there must be, if we're going to win the spiritual battle, if we're going to have a legitimate, authentic, biblical third great awakening, then we must take the lead in using our imaginations, in using phraseology, words, and vocabulary that commands respect by the culture and wins the hearts and minds of the culture. It must be done. Victory is ours, but there must be a radical transformation in the thinking processes of Christians. This Leave It to Beaver, 1950s black and white sitcom mentality, I mean, it's over, man. I mean, it's over like it's gone. It died, bury it, and leave it alone. There must be listen to me. I've spent 40 years studying this and living this. There must be nothing less than a literal revolution in the hearts, minds, and consciousness of Christians when it comes to the vocabulary, the phrases, the verbiage, and the words that we choose to use in winning the spiritual battle. We can no longer afford the luxury of using words and verbiage and symbols and pictures and names that essentially portray us as modern-day buffoons. You say you don't like that. I don't give a you-know-what whether you like it. The facts are plain and the facts are real. We're at the present moment, we are presently in the short term losing the spiritual battle for all the reasons I just outlined to you. And God is not happy. So instead of repenting about non-essential, non-important trivia, God didn't call us to play trivial pursuits. Instead of spending our times repenting about things that God, I believe, sometimes is literally yawning as we go through our litany of quasi-pseudo-impotent repentance. Real repentance goes to the very center and to the very heart of the matter. Real repentance goes to the very epicenter of the spiritual battlefield and makes seismic changes which change the history, the future, and the direction of America for years to come. That's real repentance, not this phony baloney legalist religious repentance, but real repentance. So we need to have a revolution in our hearts and minds, which is simply saying we need to radically renew our minds and hearts with the Word of God. We need to revisit and restudy the Word of God, not for the purpose of altering the Word of God or trying to make or degrading the Word of God, not for the purpose of reducing the Word of God to something that humanists and transhumanists will approve of. We will never earn their approval. So why even try? But there's a difference between winning the approval of the humanists and transhumanists and learning how, through the development of skillful, strategic vocabulary, the development of strategic verbiage, the development of strategic communication, which delivers victory and causes us to win. That should be our goal, and we should settle for nothing less. We win. It's about winning. You say, well, why? That's worldly. No, it's only worldly if you're an idiot and you've had a lobotomy. It's not worldly. It is intelligent and pleasing to God to carry out strategies which assure spiritual battle victories on multiple levels and to be strategic in what we do. So we are faced with a challenge right now at Paul McGuire Ministries. It's a critical challenge. I have tried to tighten the budget for as long as I can. We have recently rethought our social media outreach, and we're seeing vast numbers of new followers, new viewers, new likers, and there's the number of people watching and listening to the Paul McGuire Report is moving into a quantum leap of new viewers, new followers like never before. And people are passing around and sending out our videos and audios all over the place. We have momentum. Now, in order to capitalize on the momentum, in order to strategically and effectively win as many people as we can through intelligent strategic vocabulary, intelligent strategic verbiage and words, through intelligent and strategic mechanisms in outfoxing those who are attempting to illicitly dominate the social media landscape, and they are, we have developed a series of new strategies that will enable us to conquer the vast land of what I call, in the title of my book, the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. Right now, we are in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. In order to occupy the land and move forward and to get into the heads of people and win them to Christ, to get into the heads of people and teach them the viability of a biblical worldview, in order to turn the tide of the spiritual battle, meaning nothing less than victory, and I'll repeat it again, nothing less than victory is our goal. I will consider it a failure if we achieve nothing less than victory at this critical emergency moment in time. And so what we must do is rise like never before. In order to accomplish that goal, in order to get into people's heads and change their heads and change their minds, in order to win the battlefield of the mind, we must have the technology to counteract propaganda. That means I need to raise significant monies and funding in order to acquire significant upgrades in every area of communication technology, upgrades in our cameras and camera resolution, upgrades in our lighting package, upgrades in our satellite distribution system, upgrades in the amount and number of programs and outlets that we're on around the world. There has to be a significant upgrade. There has to be a significant upgrade of editing technology, both video editing technology and audio editing technology. We must have technology which will allow us to produce in a fast-moving and simple manner. We must have cutting-edge technology which allows us to produce cutting-edge and relevant mini-docudramas, enhance the technical aspects of our programming, both video and audio. We must vastly enhance and upgrade our lighting package. On every level, when it comes to the production of programs, the distribution of programs, the paying for and the hiring of additional staffing, and potentially enhancing our existing staffing, we have to make this move. Because if we stay in the present zone, we're going to lose territory. When they split up the internet into the Marxist, George Orwell-approved, state-controlled social media, where they put all the normies and the flatliners, and then you have the alternative social media, which is very fragile. It could be taken down at any moment. We have the social media that we're heavily on now because they have stolen the freedom of speech of Christians. They flat out stole it. They flat out stole freedom of the press for Christians. They flat out stole freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and freedom of speech. They stole it by manipulating illegally and illicitly and unlawfully. They have manipulated the meaning of our constitutional rights, and they've played dirty game after dirty game. Let me just share one dirty game, and I expose it. That's why they're taking me down all the time. There's a little game they play. I'm talking about the Googles, I'm talking about the Facebooks, and all the big social media companies. They say that they're private companies, and therefore as private independent corporations and companies, they claim they are legally free to censor anything they want because they legally and lawfully are a private independent company. I would suggest to you, based on the allegations of numerous legal experts that I've heard, that that is a completely unlawful and untenable position. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't run around saying that you are an independent, privately owned company, and therefore, as an independent, privately owned social media technology company, you claim to have the right to tear down anybody off of your social media platform or search engines or whatever. You have the legal right to destroy them, bury them, manipulate their numbers, et cetera, et cetera. You're claiming you have that legal right because you're claiming that you're an independent company. However, the allegations that I've heard from some of the finest legal experts in the world who have challenged that, they are saying this, that these giant social media companies that are attacking anybody who talks about the love of God, who talks about Jesus Christ, who raises a question about vaccines, anything that has to do with truth, life, liberty, love, goodness, it's under attack. So they claim they have the legal right to do that because they claim, I believe erroneously, they claim that they're not under those laws because they're independent companies. Are they really independent companies? From the very beginning up until the present moment, who is it that has heavily financed and bankrolled all of the major social media companies, allegedly? Who is it that has funded the social media companies, the Googles, the Facebooks, and all the other companies, and the Amazons, you know, that's a paying system, and all the other companies? Who is it? When you look in the publicly recorded history of all these social media companies that claim to be independent, you see that they're not really independent. What you see in their corporate histories, for anybody can check this out, what you see in their corporate histories is that time after time, day after day, year after year, month after month, that they have been heavily, heavily financed to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars each year annually. That these social media giants, these surveillance giants, these people who are pushing a particular social agenda and deliberately attacking and demeaning a Christian social agenda, these people are being funded by the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars per globalist corporation by such taxpayer-funded globalist corporations and intelligence agencies such as the CIA, DARPA, and at least there are at least a minimum, I'm just counting the big companies, there are at least at a minimum allegedly 25 giant multi-billion dollar globalist corporations that are secretly financed, secretly managed, and secretly ruled by the ABC alphabet intelligence agencies, like CIA, FBI, DARPA, and so on and so forth. So what we have in reality is we don't really have the existence of independent operators, of independent, privately owned social media corporations. That's not the truth. The truth is that the so-called independent social media corporations are all receiving hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in under-the-table financing under the guise of financing all these secretive and special projects. And so these intelligence agencies, which are financing the social media giants, are all receiving massive, massive cash flow from the intelligence agencies, as long as they carry out the propaganda, the surveillance, and the intelligence orders that they're being directed to. So what does this mean? It means that there, allegedly, according to these legal experts, it means that there's no way that you can lawfully and legally classify all these giant social media companies that are ruling the world. There's no way that you can classify all these giant social media companies as independently operated private social media companies that have the rights, that have the legal rights of an independent and private corporation. Why? Because they're not really, in factual matter, an independent private corporation. They are, in effect, one giant monopoly. Hear my words. The social media, robot, algorithm, bot, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, we could go on and on and on and on. Google, all of these companies, in reality, when you look behind the Wizard of Oz curtain, you see that all of these so-called independent companies are secretly being financed by the most powerful intelligence agencies in the world, based in America, and that they, allegedly, according to these legal scholars and legal experts, because they're because all of these giant social media companies are receiving hundreds of millions of dollars from the same relatively small handful of intelligence agencies, that they don't really qualify for the protection that an independently owned and operated private corporation could enjoy. You see what I'm saying? They, despite what they call themselves, they are monopolies. And monopolies are illegal in the United States of America. And you're not allowed, in America, according to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, no private company, especially with globalist and foreign ownership, no private company funded by globalist multinational corporations, has the legal right to carry out a monopoly of control over their communications product and exercise dictatorial control over the entire social media complex. Allegedly, that's totally illegal. And what the argument of the legal experts is that because all of these giant social media companies are receiving hundreds of millions of dollars of funding and cash flow and are being bankrolled by the big intelligence agencies, that they legally no longer qualify as being independent companies, and that they are indeed in violation of the federal laws on monopoly. They're in violation of the laws on monopolies because they have done an end run and manipulated the definition of a monopoly so that it allows them to rule and own monopolies that now have total propaganda control, total social engineering control, total sociological control over politics, over elections, over social habits, over sexual lifestyles, over things like abortion or non-abortion. They are an unelected dictatorial branch of government. That is what's really happening. And so when all these Christians or conservatives across the nation find that every time they tell the truth or they vocalize or write down their own opinion, either in an article on the internet or on a social media page on the internet or a podcast on the internet, and then they find that without any specific ruling, just in a generalized edict, which makes it impossible to comply with, they are forced to rip down, take down, and censor anybody, any group, any individual, any church, any Christian, any religious group, at any time, without any warning whatsoever, can be stripped down from their social media page. They can be taken down, ripped down, and destroyed from podcasting or any forms of internet communication. And you can't do anything about it because there has been a total manipulation of legal definitions, which have, in a distorted and, I believe, unlawful manner, have redefined the real meaning of what it means to have corporations and government and all kinds of agencies and groups in the United States of America, all of them, according to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, all of these entities that are waging war against truth tellers, all of these entities should have an active and protected legal right to speak in terms of their freedom of speech, to speak in terms of freedom of the press, to speak in terms of freedom of religion, and to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to go through the entire Constitution and Bill of Rights, and wherever you see a legally defined right granted to we the people of America, that is a sacred right, and no government agency, no alphabet agency should have the right, allegedly by these legal scholars, should ever have the right to take down, to censor, to strip, to bury, to hide the articles and the recordings, the sound recordings of truth being spoken or the video recordings of truth being spoken. To attack the truth is literally nothing less than a legal attack against freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of the press. So we cannot win the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world if we allow ourselves to be thrown in a virtual re-education camp where we are placed in a separate camp and isolated via internet segmenting and internet isolation. We can no longer allow ourselves to be demonized, marginalized, and isolated and rendered impotent and rendered ineffective by the egregious and what I believe is a thoroughly illegal coup d'etat in which they have usurped our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and our basic freedoms. That's what they have done. And that this is just the warm-up act. I'm writing about it in my new books. They're planning to do more. The cashless society is nothing more than a self-evolving nano-chip implant placed inside of people, and your body is transformed into a broadcasting system and a receiving system. And your brain, your mind, your thoughts can be programmed just like a robot, and all your rights can be taken away. You can literally be killed if they fire or zap you with a specific numerical electromagnetic frequency. So in order to win the greatest spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world, we have now come to the Rubicon. We have now come to the place where we must stand. God Almighty, listen to me, there can be no effectual Third Great Awakening. There can be no biblical and authentic Third Great Awakening or biblical revival as long as our freedom of speech, our freedom of the press, and our freedom of religion is impugned upon and is outlawed and is persecuted, sued, and attacked. These two things, listen to me very carefully, these two things cannot coexist. You can't have a nation which indeed is truly free and at the same time have a nation where through stealth mechanisms you have stolen from the American people things like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of the press. You can't have both at the same time. It's one or the other. And so those of you that are discerning, those of you that know something about biblical history, there was a time in the United States of America when the King of England was violently taxing and persecuting Christians. Men like the father of the First Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards, responded to the call of the Holy Spirit for a first great awakening and for a revival. Jonathan Edwards cried out to God, and in response, God visited America with a mighty biblical outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and God used the father of the first great awakening, Jonathan Edwards, to ignite an authentic biblical third great awakening, which not only shook America with seismic force, but shook the entire world and undid the demonic impact of things like the French Revolution, the Communist Revolution, the Fascist Revolution. Those were largely undone by the truth of God's word. Now, the second phase of the operation is it has to be ongoing. The only valid Third Great Awakening, the only valid Third Great Awakening is that Third Awakening which champions and extols knowledge as power, biblical truth, as well as the power and flow of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, as long as it never runs afoul of the truth of the inspired Word of God. And then finally, we must fight for, demand, and champion and take back all the land, the monies, and the spiritual territories that were stolen from us by occultists, by hardcore occultists like Sir Jonathan Dee and Sir Francis Bacon. Right now, the Holy Spirit, hear me, I'm speaking the truth. And whenever a man or a woman speaks the truth, the anointing of the Holy Spirit reverberates in their inner man and inner woman. I say to you now that I am speaking to you the truth according to God's word, and I am speaking to you the truth regarding our present predicament. And so as I speak this truth to you, because it is indeed truth, you can hear clearly the loud but majestic reverberation inside my soul and your soul. You can hear the reverberation of the majestic sounds of the kingdom of God and the choruses of the kingdom of God and the glory of God, not only reverberating around the inner man and inner woman of your people, but reverberating around the inner soul of America and the church and all of God's people. That reverberation of the truth of the Holy Spirit is going on right now. Hear me. And if you listen carefully, and do not dare tell me that you cannot hear the voice of the Lord your God, because if that is the case, your problem is far deeper than what you suspect. Every true believer in Jesus Christ, without any qualification whatsoever, can at this moment hear clearly the reverberation and the sound waves of the truth of God being spoken over the technology of the internet, the technology of radio, and other sources. So I say to you this day, hear the word of the Lord. And I have heard the Lord say this to me over and over again for the past number of months. I have heard the Lord say to me in his still small voice, rise. Tell my people to rise. And as I hear the word of the Lord in his still small voice, tell his people to rise, I see through the eyes of the Holy Spirit a vast number of people located on the west coast of California. I see a large number of people responding in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in obedience, they are starting to rise, as the Lord showed me in a vision, and they are starting to rise in prayer. And so our job is to obey God without question and to rise. As we rise, we will receive the anointing. As we rise, we will receive power from on high. As we rise, we will receive boldness that is beyond human analysis. As we rise, we will become fearless, and we will take back the land that was stolen from us. Our children have been targeted. And if you don't know what that means and what I'm talking about, what cave are you living in? Our children have been targeted. Our nation has been targeted for destruction and annihilation by agents of Antichrist systems. We must rise like never before and use wisdom like never before. And as we rise, we must put on the mind of Christ and think in synchronicity with the mind of Christ and use only those mechanisms and those words which demonstrate that they are strategically effective and based on sound principles. I'm asking you to stand with me. We don't have much time in a chronological sense. There are things that I'm involved in that go right to the very top in the United States of America. But I cannot share them with you publicly because that would create very serious non-strategic problems. I can only mention it in passing. There are many things I'm involved in that I can't discuss publicly. I do know this, that the Lord is calling every one of you for such a time as this. And so I'm asking you to ask God what you can do in terms of being a prayer warrior. Help us to destroy the illegal rigging systems by signing up and following all of our social media. That breaks their illegal rigging scheme. I ask you to stand with us by simply praying to God in a simple prayer and ask the Lord how much you should give in terms of the amount of a contribution or the amount of a donation or the amount of some kind of financial gift. And whatever it is that the Lord is placing on your heart to give, I'm simply asking you to obey the Lord without question and give whatever it is that the Lord is asking you to give. As you do that, you will see the law of reciprocity come alive in your life. And if you doubt that, then the problem really is with you because God can't be a liar. So I'm asking you to say that prayer and to obey God. And remember that we need to upgrade equipment. We need to upgrade the studio. We need to take the entire electronic digital broadcasting system and operation. We need to take it up a whole number of levels. In order to do that, we need to have the funding mandatory in order for us to move forward. So I thank you in advance for radically obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge you, in light of the gravity of the situation, where else would you give that you would consider strategic, that is going to produce long-term results in what is clearly the last day's battle? Make your choice accordingly. And then finally, I ask you to be a fervent prayer warrior for me, my family, those associated with the ministry, and to pray for yourselves as well. We're in a spiritual war. If you don't recognize that you're in a spiritual war, you're in harm's way. You need to understand that this is not playtime. This is a spiritual war, and God has called you for such a time as this. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.